The scripture reading before this morning's lesson will be from the 27th chapter of Genesis, verses 18 through 29. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may be blessed. And Isaac said unto him, his son, How is it that thou, Lord, that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may be blessed thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him, and he said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee.
Greatly appreciate your presence this morning. Glad to see Gerald and Donna. It seems like it's been a quarter since we've seen you, which it basically has. And masks. A lot of use of that term of late. And there are lots of uses for them. Masks are used as a means to protect. It can be used as a means to deceive. People have been wearing these things and smashing in windows and causing riots, and they're robbing people wearing these things. So are they being responsible, or are they just being thieves? Well, you can figure that out. But it can also be used to cover people against your cooties, you might say. I think I'm out of range, and it gets awful hot. And are we doing what we need to do to properly mask things? Should we be masking anything, covering up anything? The title of this lesson is called The Mask. And we realize that masks are used in fiction, movies, and television. The superhero movies are quite, you had Batman wearing the mask and Spider-Man wearing the mask and Zorro, the Scarlet Pimpernel, and the Phantom. And they use it to protect their secret identities. Of course, Superman wore glasses. So if he took his glasses off, people would say, oh, I don't know who you are. Or you put them on, they don't know that he's really Superman. And I remember there used to be a TV show called The Tick, which lasted about 6 weeks. It was not very successful, but I watched it. And one of the jokes was, there was a guy in a superhero outfit, and no one knew who he was because he had glasses on. And we laugh about it, and we have actors like Lon Chaney, who was a silent movie and early talkie actor. He was known as the Man of a Thousand Faces. He could disguise himself into all kinds of things using makeup. And of course, some use masks or disguises to conceal their identities while committing crime. Of course, as was read in our hearing, appreciate the reading from Genesis 27, Jacob disguised himself to fool his father Isaac. And verses 1 through 5, Jacob is told to get food for Isaac so he can bless him. And Isaac favors Esau, but his mother Rebekah favors Jacob. And in Genesis 25, 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 27, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said to him, "My son," he said to him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now, Esau was a profane man. He sold his birthright to Jacob. We read that in Genesis 25, 29 through 34. And he's like, saying, "Well, what's this birthright worth to me? I'm going to die of starvation." And Jacob says, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. But Esau is still expecting to get a blessing from his father. But Rebekah has other plans. Back to Genesis 27 and verse 6, Rebekah spake to Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Now go now to the flock and fetch from me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared to the hand of her son Esau. He came to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" He said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed them. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and bless me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. And let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Why did this happen? Because it was God's will to bless Jacob. Genesis 28, 1 through 5, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And all the Jews, therefore, do come down from Jacob, the children of Israel, as his name later became. Deception was also perpetuated not only by Jacob, but by the Gibeonites to save themselves. We read that in Joshua, the 9th chapter. And it said in verse 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said to Joshua, we be thy servants. And Joshua said to them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? They said to him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go and meet them, and say to them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go to you. But now, behold, it is dry, it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these, our garments and our shoes, are become old by reason of a very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. But eventually the Israelites find out. The Gibeonites become Israel's servants. You know, Joshua calls for them and he speaks to them. Why have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? Well, therefore, you're cursed. There shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right to thee to do to us, do. And so he did unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. So Jacob and the Gibeonites, they wore disguises, you might say masks, if you wish, to deceive. Jacob did it to obtain his father's blessing. The Gibeonites, well, you know what the children of Israel were doing to all the people living in the area? They were destroying them and killing them. So the Gibeonites said, well, we don't want to get killed, so we will pretend to be something else, make them promise us not to kill us. And some masks are designed to protect rather than to deceive. They cover. You know, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You know, we can see that in various verses. This is from, I think, Proverbs 17 and 9, and also in Proverbs 28, 12 through 14, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great joy, great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him, them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. You know, from these verses in Proverbs, we see that to cover a transgression, you know, to hide, you know, when the wicked rise, to cover your sins. Now, it talks about those who cover their sins and they don't prosper. In other words, who try to cover it up. But if you confess and forsake them, you'll have mercy because you're doing things to get rid of the sin, not just merely cover it up. James 5 and verse 16 through 20, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And 1 Peter 4 and 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, or love, shall cover the multitude of sins. So if we're going to cover our sins, not to cover up and not get rid of them, but to hide them, but instead get rid of them forever, we have to ask ourselves, what covers our sins? You know, the charity and love, as we just mentioned in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. 1 John 1 through 10, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Jesus' blood is what cleanses the sin. It blots it out. You know, Psalm 51, 1 through 10, you know, King David talks about the masking of our sins. You know, he says, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. According to them all, to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from thine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did that my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, we need to see and seek the things that hides our sins and takes them away. Acts 20 and 28, Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Romans 3, 21 through 26, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You know, Are we doing those things that blots out our sin? You know, are we doing the things that takes it away? You know, Hebrews 9 and 14, Jesus suffered. He offered the shedding of his blood, providing us the chance to have remission of our sins, to hide them away forever. You know, verse 14 of Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, men are going to die. You know, later on in this same passage, you know, it talks about in verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But we can mask our sins so that they will be remembered no more. You know, Hebrews 8 and 7, for that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be there to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest, and I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Again in Hebrews 10, 16 and 17, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But we can do those things to make God forgive us, to remember all the bad things we've done, to be never remembered. And let us not wear the mask of the fake Christian, that of the hypocrite. Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. We remind ourselves of that. You know, in 1 Peter 2, in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So let us truly cover those things that hurt us spiritually, masking our sins so that God remembers them no more. Yes, these masks are designed to protect people from you, mainly, and maybe protect yourself from others, you know, congregational cooties. But we laugh about that. It can also be used to deceive. It can be used to do all kinds of things. What we offer ourselves today is the chance to hide our sins, to blot them out, to erase them. But if we haven't done that, we just haven't. We'll be found wanting. And will be found in disguise as something that we should have been. That's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and sing.